And today we're going to be continuing in our series, Defending the Faith. So last week, we discussed the difference between judging others and making biblical, godly judgments. Because God calls us to make those judgments in this world. If we as Christians did not make godly judgments, who else is going to, right? Who else is going to do that? But when we call sin out, I guarantee you, you will have some backlash. There will be consequences for doing that. But that shouldn't deter us, because we need to continue to call sin out. That's what God's called us to do, because the consequences of sin come from Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Defending the faith is important. But as we do, we must be mindful of the opportunities that could arise by us defending our faith. The opportunity that could possibly arise is the opportunity to share Jesus with people who do not know him. That is an amazing opportunity that we have to help lead someone to faith in Christ. You know, as I was thinking about this message series, I wondered, you know, what are some of the issues that we face here today in 2022? And there are many problems that the church faces today. I mean, there are countless numbers of opportunities that we have and issues that we face. But there are a couple that I wanted to bring up today that I think are really big problems in our churches today. And so that's what we're going to do as we look at the scriptures today. One of the problems that we have in our churches today is something that I mentioned a few times here in the past. This problem is foundational to many of the other problems that are caused and that we face here in the church. If you were to take the root of this problem and the problems that we face, if you take it to the root, this is probably what you're going to start seeing as being a problem or a foundational problem that allow other things to happen. These problems are evolving and developing throughout the years. Falsehood begins to spread like gangrene in the church, and that is never a good thing. So as we look at spiritual discernment or lack of spiritual discernment, that is what we're going to be starting with today. So why is biblical or lack of spiritual discernment so important? Well, lack of spiritual discernment is not just a problem of biblical illiteracy. So when I say lack of spiritual discernment, that is probably something that we all start to think about, is biblical illiteracy. And you've heard me talk about that before, how in our country we are so biblically illiterate, we don't know what the scriptures teach, we don't know what God has to say, that is a huge problem. That biblical illiteracy is not lack of discernment. It's something a little different. Although lack of or biblical illiteracy is a part of the lack of spiritual discernment, that's not exactly all that is involved there. We need to be biblically literate. We have been so biblically illiterate in our country for so long that lack of spiritual discernment has gone by the wayside. People don't think about spiritual discernment anymore, and they really should, because it is so vital and so important. So when we talk about spiritual discernment, what is spiritual discernment? Spiritual discernment is the fundamental definition for Christian discernment is a decision-making process in which an individual makes a discovery that can lead to future action. In process, the Christian spiritual discernment, God guides the individual to help them arrive at the best decision. Okay, so what does that mean? If I'm facing a problem in my life, whether it be social, whether it be economical, whether it be anything, any issue that I'm facing in my life, what should I be able to do? What should I do with that problem? I have got to be able to take that problem and filter it through God's word and listen to his guidance. Okay? Spiritual discernment is something that is spiritual. It is led by the Holy Spirit. He is the one who guides us into all truth. And if I begin to ask questions about issues that I'm facing, God, what is it you want me to learn from this situation? Who is it you want me to impact? It possibly might be myself. I might be the one that God's trying to impact. It may be other people that God's trying to impact. Who is it you want me to help? Sometimes we ask, why? Why am I facing this right now? And listen as we read the scripture to what God is trying to teach us. It is a process, though. It's not something that we should just take flippantly. It's something that we have to pay attention to and follow and allow God to walk us through those processes, because as we do, he teaches us some very valuable things. And one of those things that he teaches us is how to trust him. Understanding what God says is right, what God says is wrong, what God says is holy, what he says is unholy. These are things that we have to be careful of and watch, because many Christians today, and I'm going to put Christians in quotations, many people today think that following what the world says is right, what the world says is holy, what the world says goes. Many Christians follow the world and they cost themselves much. They cost themselves much. Because we cannot be following after what this world says is right, what this world says is wrong, and what this world says is holy. We have to allow God to do that. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. He tells young Timothy, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing
Christian, probably 20 years ago, looking at our world 20 years ago, when my daughter was in elementary school, I looked at that passage of scripture and I said, this describes today. This isn't something that we look forward to, look into the future for. It's happening right here, right now. And that was 20 years ago. Do you have any idea how worse it has gotten in 20 years? It's crazy.
And we read this passage of scripture and we go, that is exactly what is happening in our world today. We've got to open our eyes and pay attention, because, man, it's so important. And Paul says, don't have anything to do with it. Don't have anything to do with that stuff, because it will lead you astray. Everywhere we look, we see the sinfulness of the human heart just going places where it never should go. However, the scripture tells us that these things are going to happen. It shouldn't be a surprise to us. But what do we do when we see the world falling in on itself and becoming more wicked, more corrupt? What, as a Christian, should we do? We have got to pay attention and be spiritually discerning. Paul continues to go on in his letter to Timothy. And this is what we have to do. When we see all of those things that are going on outside us in our world today, and the world says it's right, and we say that it's wrong. Paul tells Timothy, he says, I give you this charge
preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry.
Paul tells young Timothy that these things are going to happen in your world, but you've got to preach the word. You've got to stand upon the truth of God's word and not be moved, regardless of what comes your way. And the only way we can do that is if we have spiritual discernment to know when to speak, the attitude in which to have when we speak. It's not something that we're to be superior over other people, but we're supposed to do it in a way that will lead them to the truth. Help them to understand that what they're doing is wrong, and that there are going to be consequences for that wrongdoing, and how much God loves them. But make no mistake about it, in that love, He's just, and He will punish sin one day. We have got to have pastors that are unapologetic as they proclaim the word of God. And I pray that that's what I do. If we preach the word and we're unapologetic about it, that's the only thing we have to do. That and love people. That's it. There's no other formula for it. It's pretty simple. And that's it. And as we do, we have the power of God and His strength in us. Regardless of what this world has to say, we have to do that. Because God is the only judge we should worry about. We shouldn't care what other people think about us. He's the only one that matters. The lack of caring what the Bible teaches is how we have gotten into the serious problems that we face in our day. With lack of spiritual discernment, people will move and to and fro, searching for a place that tells them that they're right. They look for these places and these teachers that tell them what their itching ears want to hear. And instead of allowing the Scripture to conform us or change us, what do? They look for people that'll tell them what they want the Bible to say. And oh man, that is not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be. But in that, as we have seen that come about over the decades, I mean, this is not something that is new to our day. This has been going on for decades. Decades this has been going on. And because of that, because people are looking for a pastor to tell them what they want to hear, it's caused another problem that we face today. Okay? And as we continue this morning, the lack of spiritual discernment has led us to this problem that we face. Consumer-driven Christianity. Consumer-driven Christianity. And this is an American church problem. This is not a problem that other countries face. This is a monster that we've created on our own. So what is meant by consumer-driven Christianity? If you were to look at the American church today, and you look at our culture, and you look at our society, people will choose a church like they choose a restaurant. My wife does not like seafood. She wouldn't go to a seafood place unless she really loved me and wanted to take me there. But we love red meat, love steak. I love going to a steakhouse. That's great. People choose churches like that. I don't like what this one has to serve, so I'm going to go to this one. Maybe we should go try this one out, because look what they're doing. We have created this whole idea that it is okay to jump from church to church to church. And that can be a problem. Because church is not just another form of entertainment where people can go and feel good about themselves. Church isn't about coming to hear a message that's going to get you through the week. It's not about the new coffee flavors or the smoothie bars or the hip furniture. It's not about the smoke and the lights. It's not about that stuff. I'm not saying that those things are wrong, but that's not what church is about. What is the main reason why you come to church on Sunday morning? Why do you come to church, this place, on Sunday mornings? Do we come for the music? Do we come to see our family and friends? Do we come to partake of communion? Do we come because of the Lord's Prayer? Do we come because of the outreach events that we do, the food and the things that we do? Not that any one of those things are bad or wrong. They're all good if we're doing it in the right, for the right reason. But why do we come to church on Sunday morning? Why do we come to church on Sunday morning? What's the purpose of all of this? The purpose of the church is to expound the Word of God in its fullness, to train people to accomplish what God has called them to do. In Colossians 1, verses 24 through 27, Paul says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden from ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." I hope that you come to church on Sunday morning because you know that I'm going to be reading out of this. You know that I'm going to be teaching out of this. What does God's Word tell us and teach us to allow us to transform us into the image of His Son? I pray that that's the reason why you come. I pray that it is. Lifting up praise to God is so important. We do that in song and prayer and all the things that we do, but He wants us to be transformed by His Word. And it is not about a preacher. It's not about a preacher. It's about the one who's being preached. It's about the one who's being preached. And if it becomes anything other than that, we're in serious trouble. But we must be on guard against pastors and preachers and teachers who make it about themselves, who want to bring glory to their name. If that begins to happen, you kick me out of here. Tell me there's the door. Because it's not about any pastor, but it's about Jesus. That is it. That is it. What God is calling us to do and the work that He wants us to accomplish for the kingdom. Ministry, if ministry becomes about praising someone other than Jesus Christ, it's not really ministry. Consumer-driven Christianity has become such a problem in America because we've let it take our eyes off of Christ. We've let it take our eyes off of Christ and put it on something that is meaningless. And we've got to be very careful about that. We've got to be very careful about being consumer-driven Christians.
sign out there says serve, don't just consume. We have to serve. We serve our Lord with pleasure and honor. Oh man, such a privilege to serve Jesus. Now, I do want to end. I want to end the message because I think that there is an elephant in the room after we've talked about consumer-driven Christianity. There are biblical reasons to leave a church. And I know that I have experienced so many people that have come to faith since I've been here, but I also know that I have people from other churches that have come here too. And I'm not stepping on your toes. I'm not. Because there are biblical reasons to leave a church. Number one, a false god is being preached. If a false god's being preached, you need to leave. If the preacher rarely uses the Bible to teach out of, you need to leave. If false teachings of the Bible are being proclaimed, if the church denies Jesus Christ as God in flesh, if sin is never preached, you should be very careful. If there is unrepentant sin in leadership being witnessed, you need to be careful. If the church begins to look more like the world than what a church is supposed to be, you need to be careful. If unholy living is tolerated, or if God calls you to take your talents and to go somewhere else to further his kingdom, because he does do that. He does it. And trust me, sometimes it's not easy to do those things. The hardest thing I have ever done as a Christian was stand before my grandmother and tell her that I was leaving her church. The hardest thing I've ever done. Because God was calling me to go into ministry. And it wasn't going to happen there. That was extremely difficult. But God was calling me to go somewhere else. So I listened and I went. Now, I am going to tell you, I'm going to let you in on a major shocker right here. Pastors are not perfect. I am not perfect. And I thought I would get more of a razz than that. Yes, God, we know you're not perfect. I have many, many faults. I have many faults. But one of the things that I do is if I say something that doesn't sound right, if something doesn't land with you, or lands in the wrong way, come and talk to me about it. Sometimes I misspeak, right? Sometimes I misspeak. I'm not perfect. But come and talk to me about it. And I know that there have been people in our church and outside of our church that have done that. And you know what? It's always been a great conversation because we get on the same page and we don't let that fester and eat at us. Because festering and eating at you is never a good thing, and it always ends badly. But we have to be ready to watch out for our lack of spiritual discernment. We need to grow in that spiritual discernment, listening to what God is not trying to teach us and tell us how to go to make the right decision. We've got to watch out for consumer-driven Christianity, because that is... it's a problem. If we don't begin to lay down roots in a church and become a family, and we move from this one to this, from this one, and you never put down roots and become a part of the family, you're missing the whole point of the family of God, right? You're missing that. So we've got to be careful and watch that as we defend the faith and we stay unified as a local body of believers. I love you guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time that we've been able to be together. And Father, I pray that we take into consideration all that you're trying to teach us here today. Father, I pray that you would just
take this message and sink it into our hearts and into our minds, Father, and change us if we need changed. Oh God, we love you and we thank you. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.